but a serious problem for another head of being a chair and the superintendent of a rugby club. Elementary rugby club. So they are waiting for me to confirm certain things and tell me some essence down there. So I'm going to be asking somebody to hold on the reins. Much as I wanted to hear what it is all about, the South African Council for Natural Science Professor. But now I'm not going to hear that. But somebody will have to interpret it for me. Oh, I can't read the. I didn't go to school that way. I need somebody to talk to me. Fortunately, I know all the little languages. So you can talk any language I'm here. But reading, I don't know how to read. So, but if you could allow me, members, that I ask for you to come up to the stage and tell me, I'll go and find and out here when you come back and join me when you find everything. Otherwise, Nick won't give me wine when I need some wine later on. So welcome to the led by Dr. Thomas. I'm sorry, I won't hear the first part, but I'll get the last part, Dr. Thomas. I see today you've not even petty. You've been hiding, I don't know where you've been hiding. I thought you were the best man. You were helping and not to try to make it. I'll get the status and what I so, if you are, can I ask you to come in there and say, and then I'll join you later on. I'll join the outing later on. I don't want to hold things because I'm being fair.
Good morning, honorable members and officials and all from SAPNA. So how do you pronounce the abbreviation? Okay, SAPNA. You're most welcome to this meeting. I think we do have a few apologies that they have been noted. Can I ask Starting with members to introduce themselves so that you know who you're talking to. My name is Ingwe Matebo. I'm a member of the ANC and the Weaver Community.
Kassel Mutale, COVID member from Limpopo. Thank you. Nadine Paulson, committee member from the Western Cape.
Agnes Sackler, team member from the Northern Cape. Good morning, Annalie Lord, please, Free State.
Right, and Shalene, I'll ask if you are starting with the subject.
Thank you. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you for this opportunity to meet and present to you. This is a new council that was inaugurated end of June. Of this year for a 4-year term of office, and I'd just like to introduce to you as well our group and delegation here. Myself, Gerda Boerka, being the president. Next to me is Professor Katu Nepalwe, the vice president. I'd also like to acknowledge Dr. Petiri Otutu, who is also one of our council members, and then our executive revenue from this conference.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Good morning, my name is Katichelo Nepawe. I'm the deputy chair of the SAPNA.
My name is Rolf Klicker. I'm the CEO, Executive Director of ZACNES. I'm also from Mpopa.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Tisho Matutu, a member of SAFNA, representing the Department of Science and Technology.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Kenan Mendes from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, honorable acting chair and honorable members. Thomas Ofahari from the Department of Science and Technology.
Thank you very much,
Doctor and Professor.
High delegation. Thank you very much and most welcome. So it's over to you.
Thank you very much. If that comes in the introduction part of the presentation as well, let's move straight into it. Just like to show you first of all an overview of what we'd like to present to you today. We just want to put in context the national context of this whole council, then very briefly highlight the purpose of the Act. I'm going to introduce SACNES categories and the field practice. We want to spend some time on the policy context. I just want to specifically highlight our alignment to government and then share a bit of the functions and interactions, tell you how our management and business work, and then also share some relevant statistics before we just touch on where to from here. So first of all, just how to step in. Organizations exist that assist with standards and in a profession. It uplifts and protects the profession. And you've got very good examples. The medical council, the pharmaceutical groups are all examples. The engineers come together in the same format, and you also have the chartered accountant. So there are many examples where a profession is grouped and controlled in councils and groups. Now the difference being, it's either legislated or not. The Health Professional Council of South Africa is definitely legislated, while others, such as the South African Institute for Chartered Accountants, SAICA, is not legislated. Now the natural sciences does not fit in any of the current structures, so they came together under this banner called SACNES. And it's a very diverse group, as you'll just now see, and this is now legislated by our Act, Act 27 of 2003. So that is the background of having such a council. Now the purpose of the Act, I just want to read you exactly in two paragraphs that summarize in a nutshell the purpose. To provide for a credible professional registration and regulatory body for natural scientists to establish, direct, sustain, and ensure a high level of professionalism and ethical conscience in the natural science profession sector. Also to improve standards of services rendered by professionals, maintaining their integrity, enhance their status, and manage liabilities attendant to the practice of natural science professions. So that's the Act, and we're moving from this base. Now, SACNES has got categories in which the scientists can register. First of all, you've got the professional natural scientists, you've got candidate natural scientists, and certificated natural scientists, level A. The difference being that for a professional scientist, you need a 4-year degree with an honours degree, 3 years experience with a master's, 2 years, and a PhD level, at least 1 year of experience to register in that category. The candidate category stating being that this student just finished his degree and he hasn't got the relevant work experience, he will then become a candidate until such time they gain enough work experience. And I'll speak to that again later as how do we plan to expand that category. And then certainly your certificated level is basically a 3-year degree or diploma that we then allow for with also relevant work experience linked to that. I think more inclusive is other categories that has come to being since we started this, such like your trainee, student, technical, associate and specialist. Because many students without the work experience need, for instance, a certificate level, needs to get the job, and when they apply, it's been asked, are you registered? Now, they would be eligible yet on certificate level. So we create trainee levels as well, and there's an A and a B level, even cater for that level of experience. I also note we do recognize prior learning in different categories. There is a way of entering by providing that evidence to get into the different categories. So we're advancing as the need in the market determines, and the scientists come and say what is outstanding, what they need. So for technical associates, these people with non-science degrees but really managing science areas, and they have a need to also associate with us. So we're opening up that field to accommodate more people. Then this is an example of industry applications. So now, all the scientists in South Africa, where do they work? How is it applicable? We just clustered it a little bit that you can see, for instance, the science field that relates to agriculture and food security. We've got a field called to agriculture science. We've got animal science, extension science, which is a new one. I'm also going to refer to it a little bit later. Water resources, the food science, microbiology, toxicology. And then under mine environment conservation, there's a group now, conservation science is our newest field that's been committed. You see geospatial, geological, earth, aquatic. And we're very proud of the Square Kilometer Array project, all of us. And there are mathematicians, physics, chemists, all really make great input. And then there's a variety of other things under the bio-green economy, material science, biological science, botanical. So you can get a sense of really the application areas, and it changes depending on where people work. Now, very specifically, our alignment with government. How does FACTAB actually speak to the different government policies? Well, first of all, the National Development Plan is the one we all work through and towards. Vision 2030. The NDP notes that development in science and technology innovation are fundamentally altering the way people live, the way they connect, the way they communicate, the way they transact, with a profound effect on economic growth and development. The NDP also recognizes that science and technology innovation quality is a key differentiator between countries that are able to tackle poverty effectively by growing and diversifying their economies. This goes we do not have that capacity. So science and technology innovation quality manifests in the ability of countries to manufacture high-value goods by using those technology in terms of services and in distinguishing advanced economies from less advanced ones. Science and technology innovation has therefore informed a number of government strategies on research and development, product development, your industry, manufacturing and commercialization. And the quality of the science and technology innovation workforce is what underpins the execution and the implementation of these strategies. And this is the members, the registered persons at SACNAS, what we regulate. So this is how we directly actually contribute and understand this to play out. Now, another example also is along countries trading with South Africa requires sometimes an endorsement of products that are being exported. To make a specific example, the members of the European Union requires products, the cosmetic products, to have a toxicology dossier that is signed off by a registered natural scientist. Now, at some point today, there was no such field, so entrepreneurs very expensively they have to obtain this service outside South Africa. Therefore, the Minister of Trade and Industry asked Minister Pandor to actually bring a field of toxicology and register such a field so that it is a standalone area which has been available. And this has been done, and trade barriers for ourselves and actually costly trade assist the entrepreneurs and business in South Africa if we have that available. Furthermore, the NDP emphasizes the need for higher education to expand and to incorporate effective regulatory advisory institutes. SACNAS has a very good working relationship with the Council on Higher Education and advise them through our Quality Assessment Committee. Now, with the assistance of our voluntary association, SACNAS routinely advises the Council for Higher Education and the appropriateness of and the science content of curricula they evaluate and consider. So similarly, SACNAS engages with institutes of higher education advising on the curriculum content that would be appropriate for registration, and that maintains a certain standard in education on that level. We also have to take note of the 9-point plan to boost economic growth. There are numerous areas that align with the areas that is in the specification, specialization fields that SACNAS and the sciences actually work in. We're thinking the revitalization of the agriculture and agro-processing value chain being very key, advanced beneficiation and adding value to our mineral wealth, more effective implementation of the higher impact industry policy plan, IPAP, growing the ocean economy, resolving the energy challenge, scaling up private sector investment, cross-cutting areas to reform, boost and diversify the economy. Now, another example in this industry area is that the Johannesburg Stock Exchange specifically started developing a register for competent persons or competent mineral evaluators. So in the geology field, this was really key. And needed that permits to permit the assessment of mineralogical holdings for the purpose of economic evaluation. And not just take anybody's report, but really have that. In fact, has offered that area, and so we do have registered persons that can support that. What the industry requires and needs. Furthermore, the operation-specific dispensation framework has been implemented by departments, that's the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Water Affairs, so that it stipulates also that scientists cannot be shortlisted or obtain jobs specifically in DAF and Water Affairs if they are not registered with SACNAS. To that extent, that agricultural extension scientist was paid for in 2014, that they can actually be evaluated and put on the SACNAS database for that term, and they supported their whole application process in that way. Lastly, I'd just like to highlight also that in facilitation skills incorporation, the Department of Home Affairs relies on SACNAS for assistance when evaluating applications for work permits in areas of critical and sometimes scarce skills, and SACNAS has put structures in place that we can evaluate those applications and give comments on the skills that is requested. So what SACNAS functions? As mentioned, we register natural scientists, we represent the practitioners of natural sciences and to campaign on their behalf. We want to ensure and maintain acceptable standards of education and training in the natural sciences. We advise the ministers on matters relating to the natural scientific professions, as Minister Pandor again requested at the inauguration meeting, that we really need to put our minds towards this and advise her in different matters. I'll also point out later we've got a specific new committee also that we really look at special strategic projects we can engage on for that purpose. And we want to ensure responsible practice by registered scientists. The ethical conduct is really important. So we're going to SACNAS Interact, obviously the natural sciences, the Department of Science and Technology under which we fall, and the US government department, as I highlighted in the other slide, with home affairs, water, trading industry, agriculture, environment are the government groups that really is important. For our science, in the higher education sectors, advice on the science required, the curriculum, the whole registration, so it's a huge interaction project. The science councils, obviously, IRC, CSIR, they do register all their members, and it's very important for them to comply to this. And then private sector, industry moving more and more towards employing scientists that have that credibility of being registered. That the industry has that need, and for consultants it's critical. You cannot be a consultant if you are not registered, because they are long-standing entities and they need to have that registration to have all function as a consultant for South Africa. Then how does SACNAS function? I have a slide on every one of these topics to introduce to you. We have the council, which is the overarching group for under SACNAS, which falls under PST. The council has a number of committees who's been chaired by various council members, And these are the office where our executive directors matches. They all got a complement of temporary and permanent staff who then run the day-to-day business of SACNAS. So the new council will be inaugurated on 25th June for a 4-year term of office. I list the members, but just what I want you to know is the various fields of practice that actually come together and the diversity of the group of who they represent. There are 13 people that's nominated by a voluntary association, and there's 4 from the state and 4 from the public. So you have there from food science, animal science, geology, plant botanical, mathematical, physics, toxicology, you see there's environment, microbiology, it's quite an interesting group of people. Then for the state, we also have people from DEA, we've got chief sciences, we've got PCT, Department of Higher Education. And again, in the public relations, you'll see we have 2 chartered accountants that will ensure our finances are in good order for the term coming. In the council committees, we have an ex-co that is in between council. We've got 2 committees, the Audit and Risk and HR Remuneration. There was 1 in the previous term, but it has been split for good governance and to cope with the various aspects in the workplace. We've got our Professional Product Committee. And then there's a new one, Strategic Project Committee. They have met once since the inauguration. And I'm really happy about this one, because then we get a chance to deliberate on how we're going to make additional further impacts. And I'm a great expectation that we will find projects there that's really going to spread wider to the benefit of the South Africa science community. And then the biggest one is the Registration Committee. This is the heart of SACNAS, where we look at the registration of the scientists. It consists of the Qualification Assessment Committee, the 21 Professional Advisory Committees, and the Critical Skills Dealer Committee. It's actually grown to the extent where we will have to split. We clustered the Registration Committee to handle them all. It will actually group in 3 areas so that they can get through their whole workload. But that is the heart and soul of the registration. Right. In terms of the office, I just want to highlight on this one slide. As you can see, also the growth that started in the period from 2011 to 2015 is when we appointed an executive director. And you can see how you'll see on some of the other statistical slides, but it really has grown. SACNAS has now got 13 new positions, is 22 new jobs in total, and we are fully compliant in terms of equity. These are snapshots of, I don't want to make this too much detail, but the registration process. If this is what this council and group does, how does it work? How thorough and in-depth is it? So just to mention, the voluntary associations is really key for SACNAS existence. The they are people on the ground that relate with the scientists more on a regular daily basis that touch their field specifically. And they are the groups that nominate, they say who will be the people to evaluate their applications. They give guidance on what is necessary in their field in terms of legal experience in other specifics that relates to that field. The SACNAS office is the bulk of the administration that they share, they interact with the applicants, check the referee reports, the very competent process, but it's necessary, and they manage that, they keep all the records, and they share all the documentation. The Qualification Assessment Committee is also in this list. We get various applications, sometimes from overseas, different sizes, also put together in interesting combinations, and then we'll have to see if it really just complies to, does it fall within the area of natural sciences, and they advise the PAC for that. So the PAC will evaluate, they'll consider recognition of pricing, and make a recommendation to the registration call. The registration committee will then approve registration in that bigger meeting where it is put forward all. Council ratifies that, and then the office then feedback to the applicants and handle any process of appeal. So that in short is what involves when you register. Now we've taken a round about 10 years back just to show you where we'll be and where are we now. Did you see that the actual number of registrations per year, how it has grown, from 26 being around 217 to in 2015 to date was around about June, July, 1,100 students. So it has really grown quite significantly. You can see it pick up since 2011. Now, the total number of registered scientists on the faculty has taken about 7,868 after the last registration committee meeting in July. They're having one right now this morning in Victoria, so when we get back, the business will just increase and expand. So, after every quarter, we are adding to this number. Also, for your interest, this is the registered numbers for gender. Please note this is percentages then of the total of that here. So, 2015 female, 37% male, 63. What is just interesting is also to see the notes. 2006 the female component has grown from 80% in that year to now being 37. So it is a good trend to show there. Same, the slide also is the percentages, register numbers per age. What is interesting to see is that our younger members have doubled from 7% in the age group 20-29, now being 40. So the younger people are coming on board, same for the 39, now 37 from 24. So that is a trend where more and more of the young people are coming in. Just registered numbers per race, growing from 8% to 35% of our membership now being African. Shortly, in terms of financials, ACRAS is a self-funding statutory entity, and we fund all our activities from the fee that we deliver from our registered applications and the members. Just this one slide showing the growth. We're sitting more or less our income expenditure around 10 million. There was a lot of investment to make the process online, to appoint staff that can handle increasing registration. A lot of investment went into the infrastructure to handle this growth. So from now we really hope to just build onto that and use the online and the electronic systems to expand and add more registered persons. So really from here, I summarized it under 3 points what we want to look to the future. First of all, we want to be more inclusive, relevant and efficient. Meaning, we want to roll out the continuing professional development program, CPD points. It's something that's been implemented in various other councils, and we take learning from those groups, like you know, medical council, to keep up to date. People need a certain amount of points. We're making it very applicable for our area, making it very obtainable, and that's why we will even attract more members who are not even registered now that realize the CPD points they need at first year registration, and then the CPD follow on that. We very much rely on our voluntary associations to work and assist, and they are keen on this because they are the ones that will register some of the conferences and service providers and evaluate material that people can get points for. In the development of the candidate phase, currently when you finish your studies, you need some work experience, you need a mentor, and a mentorship board need to be submitted. We felt we can actually add more guidance and more structure to what is the candidate phase and how a person needs some information experience then apply for upliftment or actually advancement professional status from being a candidate. Then more fields and categories are being added on as highlighted. This is market driven, we want to stay relevant, so what does the market need? And we are open that, and there's always applications being considered for further fields and categories. We want to broaden our sphere of influence so that we can really increase registration numbers. And then the governance manual, we've adopted the governance manual, we've passed it on now to the new committees and say, have a look, please expand, add on, so it stays a work in progress. And then also develop an annual performance plan. Because of the way we were funded in other years, we did not to date develop annually this performance plan, but we see the value in this if we want to drive specific projects and be relevant, that we'd be certain targets we move towards that to work on an APP. Secondly, we want to strengthen our strategic partnership, first of all with government. That is key for growth and staying relevant. We want to further our ongoing relationship with different government groups. The voluntary associations, as I mentioned, on the ground, speaking for the scientists, and those are the groups we want to also engage on an ongoing basis and bring them together in more areas. then visibility in the science community is very important to us, that we create positive image of the benefits and market factors in terms of what it brings and offers to the scientists. And then thirdly, we want to be more strategic involved. Through this new strategic projects committee, we will find and rank and identify projects that we can actually execute feasibly within the next, in the 4 years. We also want to assist the effort to achieve the imperatives of the National Development Plan. As I highlighted, it's part and parcel of living in South Africa and working towards that. We provide advice to DC regarding professional scientific matters. That is recently a focus, and to revise the Act that has already started as certain gaps and certain new fields has already been proposed, and that will be in a revision that will be presented in due course. So that is it. Thank you very much for your attention, and we welcome any questions.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kota, for the presentation. And I think while you're presenting, you're going into detail in some areas, so probably would like if we can have those details that we can put into to the slide. I thought as you're presenting that it was something that is necessary and it would be very helpful for the community going forward.
Sure, thank you.
Let me take questions from members. Honourable Lodric, followed by Honourable Paulson, and Honourable Matai, in that order. Dr. Lodric.
Thank you very much. On slide 8, we refer to SACNAS functions. In the last bullet there, you state that to ensure responsible practice by registered scientists, in other words, ethical conduct, how do you... Do you have processes to ensure, and is it more in the sense of promoting ethical conduct, or are there processes that you can actually intervene if something is not done according to the ethical rules?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thank you very much, Dr. Gordon. Very, very interesting presentation. It's the first time I've been to a presentation from a professional body. And I think it's a very good initiative that will help curb unqualified people of being appointed and, you know, and having this huge red tape to follow to the sort of thing, because sometimes you can't even get rid of it. And that is one of the issues that is plaguing South Africa, especially in the government departments. So I would imagine the assessment committee would be able to give us the assurance that a professional registered with the council has been vetted in terms of qualifications, experience, all of those. That's the one thing. And also, income and expenditure, you said 10 million rand. 10 million rand for such an important council with staff doesn't sound like a lot of money. Okay, so how are you going to supplement or plan on supplementing this 10 million? I know that you want to use technology, but even you still need a sizable human resource to administer, because this could be one of the biggest councils, professional councils, not by doctors, dentists, and physiotherapists. It's a wide range. So you're going to need a sizable human resource to manage this, because it's also varied fields that have to be vetted, and it has to be professionals that go and vet these fields. So are we going to supplement this 10 million, because 10 million is insufficient, and unless you grow your membership base dramatically over the next year, you could possibly, you know, run into financial problems. Okay? That's the one thing, and of course now, you know, you have over 7,000 members registered. You were inaugurated in June, but you've been around for quite a substantial amount of time, 10 years almost. How is the council being promoted in higher education institutions, being increased, being, as soon as someone qualifies with a 4-year BTEC or honours degree, that they could actually register immediately? illicit, not making applications for jobs, showing that they are registered, or even doing it for the job that they might discover that they need registration, so you can actually just learn. And also to promote the profile of the council and stuff, promoting this institution is not already so with November, December graduation, Monday, and so that registration already. But once again, thank you very much. I have some more questions. I think, once again, it's a very useful council. It is a council and dealing with professions where there are grey areas, so sometimes people are appointed based on a lack of knowledge of people appointing them. So thank you once again.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to check how do you relate with other councils that are also based on the professions like the engineering, those who are in the engineering field, you know, civil, yeah, because you know you were, some of the things you have mentioned, like agriculture and mining space, that's where you for example you have got your mining engineers who are not sure whether they belong here or they belong to the engineering councils. I think that the others, I think my colleagues have already spoken to the need for accountability by professionals, and I think the body will play that important role to ensure that those who are in their respective fields when they do things, how do we who are not professionals get protected against the things that the professionals can do, can harm us. So the council will be a thing that would be very, very helpful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your answer. Let me also ask. The budget, you said your source of income is more from the subscriptions of the members. What about the other departments that you have doing with so far? DAF, BWA, Home Affairs, all those, do they pay for those services? Because there's nothing from Mahala. You have to be charging them. Also, I'd like to find out how is your qualification, the registration committee, the qualification assessment committee, how does it came with that? Or is it independent, or specialized qualification or so forth? And then on the temporary employees, are these temporary ones being mentored to be able to be absorbed as soon as whether they are contracts or the end of the temporary periods that you have? And maybe on that 1107, is it just scientists? Maybe it links to the question that Honorable Natale was asking. And I see on the number, the registration, whether by race and especially by age, that it's only the 20 to 29 and 30 to 29 age group that is growing. The rest are decreasing. They are declining over the 60+, the 50 to 59 and the 40 to 49, they are gradually going down. Yeah, I think those would be my questions. Thank you very much. And I think any of your colleagues, Dr. Prof, you can respond to some of the questions.
Thank you. Yes, I will start, and then I'm going to actually ask each of you to add on to all the points that was raised. Just to start from the top, yes, we have the, when members apply, they see the code of conduct that they are then adhered to, wanting to be a SACNAS member. And we got the ethical conduct committee that look after that, and we've had some legal cases which we have to work with. Usually when one member actually then lay a complaint against another member, and then this case gets investigated that there is an issue or a problem, and that gets put out in documents. We have a legal advisory group that assists us in handling this to evaluate, and we actually always try that it ends in an arbitrary process that it can be resolved in that manner. But Dr. Bickford will elaborate on maybe examples of cases that was handled to date, but in that sense, it's a bit of self-regulation, and that's how it goes. Then secondly, on the letter process, there's a lot of detail. That snapshot on slide doesn't even really summarize the amount of checks and screens that's going through. Is there two referee reports, all the publications, they got submit originals, it's verified, the transcripts of the from the university degrees. So the letting process in terms of the qualification is quite thorough. And if any one of those things are missing, the application cannot be completed. And that's also what there's a lot of work in the office to make sure all of that is in. And then there is, as I said, a committee in that field, not only the chairperson, where they check and say, is this really then all fine and in good order before it moves through different stages. And if there's any doubt in any way that the PSC doesn't have the insight into the academic records, they will send it to the Qualifications Assessment Committee to have a check and see, look at the course content. Is this what we think to say? Can we ask for detail on the subject if it's not clear? So that is very important. Then on the size and the amount, the 10 million budget, yes, so maybe we can up our fees. No, it is a problem. It is something we're working towards. And that is also when I talked about the annual performance plan, that we could maybe approach the Department of Science and Technology for funding, but then we really need to justify it on exactly how we can spend it on other projects and increase this. So it is a concern. We will have to apply our minds to this as we go. Up to date, we just took a step by step. A lot of members, this is how budget can be expenditure. But going into the future with CPD rollout and various other things, we will have to supplement our income and to make sure and therefore engage more with government and other groups on how can we sustainably continue doubling, tripling numbers into the future. The promotion is very key to that. That's why we introduced also student phases, as I mentioned, because you don't want to capture somebody at the end, because there is one or two qualifications that is not even fully registerable, and the person mustn't study a course thinking he's going to be a professional this or a professional that, and then that course doesn't allow you for that. So our engagement starts really early on, and even also allowing the students without experience to go into a training phase, or we want to promote student communication, student registration. And therefore, we want to market at different levels. And the voluntary associations, your higher education, is all part and parcel of promoting it. And in the same way that the students know there's a voluntary association in this team, they should know you need to register at SACNAS if you want to work in the science professions in South Africa. So that is that visibility and ongoing process we just highlighted as graduation, as you mentioned, coming up. And he has a whole program of things that he attends and conferences that we go, where students are also present to say, SACNAS or SACNAS, and take a registration form. How do we relate to other councils? There's not a formal engagement. We do take learning from them, looking at how they structure, for instance, the CBD points, like the engineering group. We actually, in the special strategic project committee, focus on could we bring some councils together and actually share learning in a workshop morning that we can see problems they engage and how they overcome, or can we take learning from each other in that way. I think there's basically an annual event that DEC hosts where some CEOs and chairs of councils do come together in a once-off event, but we can actually expand our engagement of that model. Then on the payment from Home Affairs and DAF for the extension scientist, DAF did pay that first on the registration, not on the critical skills visas, maybe, but a bit you can add on that. I don't think that pay for that. That is a service we decided to, we can accommodate. But that is a very good point of view. We could think of a structured fee that the Department of Home Affairs can maybe, I'm not sure if there's a payment per application that we can add on to that. And then we'll talk about differently the assessments. If the qualifications get submitted to SACWA, many of the form qualifications can give us that feedback, and we take from there. Whenever they evaluate and grade it, that becomes part and parcel of the decision on are they at the right level and does it see the knowledge. So we engage with that very differently. And then just lastly, I think Dr. Peter can comment on the staff members, but yes, they can talk about how the team for people can be absorbed. I just want to highlight a point on race and age ratios. That's actually not the relative ratio goes down, but our general number goes up. So if we double that to 18, then the age group of 60 pluses is also increasing numbers, but relatively to the younger people, they now make up a smaller percentage. But in terms of actual numbers, that is not going down. Then it's just the ratio that's changing there. I'll stop here. Do you
want
to first add anything,
sorry? Yeah, basically, I wanted to add more on that one. It's quite encouraging. I'm saying myself as a youth, comparatively, I'm actually more encouraged to see the youth groups increasing relative to the older ones. So it's quite an encouraging thing there. I find it quite encouraging. And also, in terms of gender, I mean, the increase to almost 40% from 18 is also very encouraging in terms of representation. The only thing I can add in is the promotion comes in the higher education sector. I'm coming from the higher education sector. I also feel there is a positive there. We need to engage each other, especially in the strategic new committee formed. Most of the members of that committee are coming from the higher education sector. And we are focusing mainly in terms of addressing this challenge. Personally, I also feel that we must also do something in the lower education sector, not necessarily in education. We must also promote ourselves in high schools and in primary schools, because that's the way you attract the attention of the youth. You don't want to wait for them to come to the university. Let's attend them at the level. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, perhaps just to elaborate on a number of the things that have already been mentioned by my colleagues, I think that the first important part to keep in mind is that SAC has been a very rapidly evolving organization, and we've got a lot of catching up to do with the established councils like EXO and Health Professions Council, and we come from a fairly low base, yet we are picking up steam at quite some pace, and it makes us a little bit different from a fully established council. Be that as it may, I think the transformation that is taking place is phenomenal. I think we can be extremely proud of it. I certainly am. Now, in terms of processes that the Honourable Lord Drew asked about, the SACNAS Act has got a clearly defined process in how to handle disciplinary cases, which we apply in each case whenever a complaint is laid either by the public or by fellow scientists against the conduct of a person. So there is a mechanism of control inherently in the system. But people are very reluctant to lay complaints. It does not happen all that easily. So when it does happen, certainly it's invariably a very serious case. Sometimes it's just a headache thing, but that gets sorted out very quickly. But invariably it's a very serious case. You've got a full formal process that you go through. And the ultimate would be expulsion, that you're not allowed to practice anymore. We're very fortunate, to the best of my knowledge, that's only happened in two cases in SACNASP, and that's quite a few years ago, so we're quite fortunate as far as that's concerned. But certainly as our prominence grows and as our profile grows in the country and in the public, we see an increase in the number of complaints coming in, which I think is encouraging, even if it is a negative thing. It does show that there's some awareness developing and that people are using the vehicle in order to make sure they get the best deal. The comments by Honourable Paulson, certainly the assessment committee and the vetting of the process, we have a policy, if you SACNASP chucked and to out there into the South African environment. We have a responsibility to South Africa to ensure that the person is, or she is, and they are qualified as such. And we go to great lengths to establish that. It takes an enormous amount of time and effort, but we believe it is worthwhile because in the end, it also adds to the protection of the public and the good running of our country. Yes, the 10 million rand or so is not a lot of money. I think we do so much with so little, we're not qualified to do something with nothing. But more seriously, there's a lot of data to start it off with. It's about 2 million 5 years ago, 10 million now, it's increasing rapidly. And as the demand in the market is growing for our services, certainly we need to enhance our budget. We are talking to DSD, DSD's talking to us about seeing how we can assist, how they can assist and look at building it quicker. The finances thing is a rate limiting step. The more money we have, the quicker we can expand, but at the same time we want to make sure it happens in an orderly fashion. So it's a structured growth almost, if you want to call it that. We sometimes hold back a bit of marketing because we know we won't be able to cover the applications, whereas we can have sufficient funds we can certainly go through that. But it's an evolution and it's a work in progress. Higher education promotion. I have, over the last 18 months, visited most of the deans of science in the country, so they are quite well aware of the need for SACNAS registration, and each one of them has promised that they will make the staff aware of it, and to the best of my knowledge, they actually have done so as well. We also often go to universities and give talks to postgraduate students and have interactions at that level. So it is something that we need to improve on, but we certainly started, and it's certainly paid dividends so far. And we can see that from the change in numbers, SACNAS is getting younger. Then, where was we? Other councils, yes, we have interactions with other councils. We have quite a good relationship with EXA. You know, when one works in this science space, you get to a stage where engineering and science overlap to such an extent that you actually cannot draw a line between them. And we're well aware of that, so we're working together to see how best to cope with those areas. But the boundaries are fairly well defined at this stage, and things are working quite well. but we certainly have interactions with the other councils. In the end, it's all about the protection of the public, I think, and that was mentioned during the discussions as well. Yes, other departments for funding, we certainly approached them. The critical skills visas, which landed on our lap, without really being aware that it's going to happen, we've managed to sidestep that quite well. The financial model that we developed around the critical skills visas applications is that it's self-funding, and applicants pay for it in the end of the evaluations, which we do. So we've been able to actually have a staff member, one staff, paid by the applications as they come in. But clearly, one would like to see a more longer, sustainable solution to that. The SACWA link is very important. All foreign qualifications must first have been approved by SACWA. Otherwise, we don't look at the Qualifications Assessment Committee. Sometimes, we then interrogate, in each case, we then interrogate further to really look in depth for the science content of the qualifications, which is not a SACWA function, but it certainly is our function. So we work very well together as far as that's concerned. And we have a good relationship with them. We also registered as a professional body on the NQF through SACWA, and we have constant interactions. It's actually a very, very enjoyable interaction. I think we're making some good ground there. The temporary employees are mentored throughout the process when they are in the SACNAS offices. To date, we've been able to absorb every single one of the temporary employees as time has gone on. It's not going to carry on forever like that, but certainly we give them all the training that they need in order to assist them to find jobs at the later stage should the contract come to an end. And then the outage group percentages, etc., I think have been addressed. So thank you very much, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to make comments.
Thank you, Dr. Matthew. Did you want to No, thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Acting Chair. Just to say that we also are very impressed with the performance of SACNAP. The fact that all of this has been established on the basis of essentially a voluntary association, in a sense. Yes, there's an act that governs the activities of SACNAP, but the fact that this community has been able to organize itself around such an act without direct facilitation by the state, I think is very, very impressive. And we are working closely with SACNAS on the amendment to SACNAS Act, because one of the key discontinuities that we have identified is that SACNAS has been, in terms of the Act, SACNAS has given an enormous responsibility and actually has perhaps not sufficient capacity to execute that authority and responsibility fully. And this is one of the discontinuities that we are discussing with them. And another aspect of this also is that the Act formally requires all national scientific professionals to become registered, even though in some cases the exercise of their profession poses no risk to the public at all, whereas in many other areas it does. So there's a kind of hierarchy in the professions, and we're looking at that with SACNAS as well, to see how can SACNAS' ability to regulate the more critical aspects be strengthened. And I do expect that in the next little while, the department at SACNAS will enter into a number of partnerships through which I'm hoping the department will be able to assist SACNAS in further strengthening its activities beyond the impressive base that's already been built there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Portman.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity, and we are looking forward to a bright future moving forward in the science and technology in South Africa for being a game changer for the country.
Thank you very much. Please not consider the charging the other departments, because as soon as they know and see that you are doing it gratis, they will continue to give you more of what to do, because they know they take it from their budget on your account. Yeah, but thank you very much for coming, for the presentation. It was very helpful and useful. And this Dr. Thompson, to wish you all the best, and we are here also to monitor and to contribute when we can as an oversight committee. So yeah, thank you very much, and
I hope he.